All right, you got a Bible? Let's get ready. Let's get into the Word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. Say that with me. Put off the old man. Notice something. Put off the old man with what? With his deeds. With his deeds. How do you know when the old man's not been put off? When the deeds are still hanging around, okay? So we put off the old man with his deeds, but watch this. And have put on the new man. Say that with me. Put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. So when you put on the new man, obviously you take off the old man with his deeds, but when you put on the new man, it comes with the image of him who created him. In other words, there is a new persona. There is a new level of thinking. When we put on Christ, we put on all that Christ is. And we walk not then as mere men, as those that maybe have come out of defeat or call constant trouble or trial or insignificance or one problem after another. When we put on Christ, we put on all of his victory and all of his ability. Like Pastor Tossie was talking about, covenant is powerful. You need to understand covenant. It's an exchange. It's everything I'm not that he is now mine. And I give him everything I don't have. Listen, I gave him all my sin. He gave me all his righteousness. I think we got the better end of the deal, didn't we? For sure. But I just want you to see that in Colossians 3, 9, and 10. Because a champion has to be conscious of three things in their life. And you might want to write these down. Number one, if you're going to walk in victory, if you're going to walk in a champion's mentality, number one, you have to, and I have to remember that we are living in Christ daily. My life consists of in him. My living is in Christ. Number two, I flow in the Word of God. I flow in the Word of God. And I like to use that word flow instead of saying I believe or I speak. I flow in the Word of God. It is my stream. It is my source. It is my current. It is my currency. It is how I operate in the Word of God. And number three, I stay in constant prayer. I stay in constant prayer. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm saying moment by moment connection with God. Why? Because I have been taken. Say that with me. I have been taken. Say it one more time. I have been taken. Now, where do I get that word from? You remember Enoch walked with God, and then Enoch was not. Why? Because God had taken him. See, I just don't want to walk with God. I want to be taken by God. I want to be where he is. And I think when you turn into a champion, when you begin to leave what you have been and how you have walked with God in the previous, how we have known our relationship with God, you can walk with him, you can study the Bible, you can go to church, you can sing songs. But honey, let me tell you something. When you are taken by God, you have a whole different realm that you're going to have to begin to operate in. And I believe that's what is happening to those that are hungering to go to that next level. So to be taken by God is to be conscious of his presence in every facet of our life. And you can expect to be taken out of things and put in things. People that are champions are finding themselves called up by God in momentary notice and find themselves in the middle of trouble 1 minute, and then suddenly it turns around the next minute. These times of revolving experiences are when God comes and takes us out of supernaturally what there would be no way out of naturally. And he puts us into victory. Now look, that's what we're going to have to get used to. It's that expectancy of the kind of lifestyle that we walk with God. So you cannot be a champion until you've been taken by God. So to be taken by God, you have to walk with God. And there are so many in the body of Christ aren't even walking with God, let alone to be taken by God. But listen, that's my goal and that's your goal. And that's where all of us are heading. I believe God's going to raise up taken churches in America. That's what this whole revival thing is about. We're talking about not church as usual. It's not because there's more emotion going on. There may be a few more healings or miracles going on. No, that's not it either. It's the fact that when we walk, we make a difference. We're impactful. We walk through a situation and into the victory. We don't allow the situation to hold us down or hold us back. We shake stuff off constantly, sort of like the apostle Paul that shook off the viper. We shake things off on a regular basis. Listen, we cannot be defeated, right? And we are not going to quit. So we have to possess the right kind of belief. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith. Matter of fact, why don't we read it together? Come on. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to possess the right kind of belief. I've learned that to be a champion, I have to have more than head knowledge. I have to have more than intellect about the things of God. I have to actually be in union with the Word of God. I have to become one with the Word of God. What does that mean? It means that my belief and my life have to be welded together. It gets to the point where I'm not believing for something. I have now taken my belief and made it so intricately a part of my life that I can't see the seam between the two. It's as though I've already got what I'm believing for, because my belief has become so part of my life, I don't have to see it to know I've got it. It's that level of a champion that has such uncanny confidence that you can't talk them out of anything because they believe. Now, here's a scripture that I want to show you in 2 Samuel 23:10. One of my heroes of the Bible, his name is Eleazar. He was one of the champions of David. And if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse 10. The Bible's telling us about him that he arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to the plunder. Listen, there's something about coming into a relationship with the Word of God, your belief, and becoming one with it. If you look at it in the Hebrew, it tells us his hand and his sword became fused. The sword speaks of the Word of God. His life and what he was believing became one. That's why in battle, there was no way to defeat him, because he was the sword. And the sword was the Lord. And so how are you going to defeat what God has placed in battle? See, our level of champion mentality is, I am so persuaded this is truth, you cannot pry it out of my hand. You can't get it loose from me, because I have become one with it. And until we get to that level, we're not satisfied. Until you can get to that point where you hunger and you thirst after becoming one with the Word of God, then you're not ready for the champion circle. But listen, I think we've all been dealing with this long enough where we're tired of being defeated and then have victory and then defeated and then have victory, and maybe God will and maybe God won't. We're ready to walk into a whole new realm with God, that we become one with the Word of God. And we're ready to face any enemy. It doesn't matter. And when we do, all the other people that hadn't got there yet are going to come and enjoy the plunder. Listen, I'm going to be able to take back powers of territories of darkness. I'm going to be able, and you are going to be able, to take territory that has been under enemy siege for so long, that the purpose is that we let in the little ones. In other words, those that maybe haven't gotten great faith, but they need faith. And they need somebody to fight a battle for them. That's why it's always good to have a big brother or somebody that knows how to deal with an enemy. And you want to be with them when you're in the situation that is very dangerous or precarious. And look, this is where we are in the kingdom of God right now. And I want to be able to see the plunder being turned over to those that are in need right now, because I became one with what I believe. It's what is saving faith. When you think about it, saving faith is not only saving me, but it's saving everything that's connected to me and everything around me and everybody that gets to know me. You can't help but get saved, or you can't help but get rescued, or you can't help but get delivered, or you can't help but get your stuff back, or you can't help to get healed. All you got to do is come into the presence of a champion, and suddenly you rise up to another level, because what's on me has got to get on you. It's great being in a champion's church. Maybe we ought to change the name to Champion's Church. I don't know. Let's vote on that. Let's figure that out. But it's an all-consuming, all-possessing, all-encompassing life. It's commitment of your total being. It's commitment of your total life. It involves all of your affairs. There's not one level or one region or one fiber of my life that I haven't become one with what I believe. And I'll have to take inventory. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I cannot allow crevices to exist. I can't allow dark places. I can't allow unconquered territory in my own heart to exist, because there's no possible way that I can defeat the regions and the territories and the strongholds around me when I haven't even conquered what's within me. You get what I'm saying? So that's where the championship is won. It's won here. I become one with my belief, and I conquered those areas, and I will not rest until I get that anger out of me. I will not rest till bitterness goes, until unforgiveness goes. If I'm having trouble with materialism or lust or whatever it is, it's got to go, because that is keeping me from walking in a level of championship Christianity. It's what the world has been waiting on. It's what this world is hungering for. This is the only kind of mentality that I believe is going to bring salvation to America. America is not going to be saved by the kumbaya, just as I am altar call, where people make decisions for Christ. The devils are too big. The demons are too powerful. Darkness has shrouded America, and the devil has been loosed in this earth. The only ones that can defeat this kind of spiritual battle that's in the earth today are God's champions. And I'm glad to be going to church with them. Hallelujah. Come on, look over at somebody and say, I know you're a champion. I know you're a champion. Come on. You got to encourage each other about this. Praise God. Acts 17 and 28, Paul writes this, or says this, for in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. There's no out of him. It's all in him. If I put on Christ, then I have his image. I have to put off the old man, that I don't have his deeds. If I'm trying to say I have his image and I'm still doing the deeds of the old man, there's a problem. There's a situation. There's an issue that I've got to address. And I think that's where we talk about the slumbering church. The slumbering church is a church that has become desensitized to the things of the flesh. We become comfortable with how carnal Christianity has been accepted. It's become nominal. It's become the definition of what the modern church is. We're all human. See, there's this subjection to the fact of our frailties. Yes, baby, that's right. You are weak, but when you're in him, you are made strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's not my might. Ain't nothing to do about it with me. But I'm going to tell you right now, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. I wasn't mighty before, but I'm mighty now. I wasn't very strong before, but I'm bad to the bone now. I wasn't victorious before, but I can lick just about any devil right now. You get what I'm saying? So we have to understand that becoming one with the sword, changing our mentality, allowing him to take every point and fiber and crevice and back room and alleyway and basement of our life and fill it with light. Matter of fact, why don't we just stop right there and lift our hands and make a commitment to Jesus? Come on, right now. Father, we just make that covenant. We make that commitment right now. We say all of you and none of us. We say increase, we decrease. We say, God, we must become champions. We're being raised in the house of God. We are a Samuel generation to hear your voice. We are a people today, God, that are going to be dispatched all over this earth, all over this nation. And we're going to bring victory. We're going to bring plunder to those that have none. We're going to share, oh God, what the kingdom of God has come to establish. And I make that covenant with you tonight in Jesus' name. Say amen with me. Come on. Say amen like you mean it. Say amen. All right, all right. Your life, your ministry will come up short if you don't know Christ. What do I mean by knowing Christ? Cleaving to his word. That's knowing Christ. That's not knowing about him intellectually. It's becoming one with his word. You can't tell the difference. That's why we said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, things, all things have become new. See, the enemy wants to keep us in our past. The enemy wants to keep us in the last chapter that was a disaster. And every time we try to change the page or pick up the pen to write a new chapter, he wants to turn our attention back to the last chapter. It's time for you to close the book and start all over with a new volume, because this is a new day for you and me. This is a new season. I don't know where you've been up to this day. I don't even care about yesterday. Let me tell you something. This is a new day. This is a new opportunity. This is a new season that we're entered in. And every day that we're in it, it's getting bigger. Every moment that we're living in it, it's becoming clearer. I'm talking about clarity. I'm talking about calling of God. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for this? Come on. God is about to pull the curtain back on some really awesome stuff, because you and I are champions and we are committed to change. Change means transform. And if you look at transformation, champions are constantly welcoming transformation. We have to constantly make adjustments. That's why it's important for us to do what I said earlier in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Look at the scripture up on the screen. This is important. You have to constantly test your equipment. If you're going to be going into the battle, you don't want to go in with a defective sword, a defective weapon. Here's what the scripture says. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. I need to look at it. Am I one with the word here? Am I one with the word here? Have I cleaved? Has my life cleaved to the word? Have I become so interchangeable with the word? You look at me and you look at the word and you see the same thing. If I haven't, then I've got to get this thing. I got to test myself. I got to test myself in my marriage. I got to test myself in my money. You know, I've always told people, you know, they'll say, well, Pastor, I just think this and that about the church, and you've just not spent your money right. And I said, look, do me a favor. You can say whatever you want, but bring your checkbook, because I want to look at your old checks. And I want to see how much you've given, because I've learned from experience, the loudest shouts come from the cheapest seats. You know what I'm saying? So if you won't test yourself, I'll do it for you. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Disqualified? Champions don't disqualify themselves. Champions know the rules. Champions know the rules of engagement. Champions know how this thing is played. You think an Olympian that's working right now, day and night, every day, every week, training with no press is around, no cameras, no pictures, no interviews, and they're out there working, and they're doing their cardio, and they're doing their strength training, because they know on the championship level, 1/100th of a second separates you from gold and silver. On this level, the competition is fierce. But I understand that's where I'm called. I'm called to that kind of level. And so I'm not going to disqualify myself by lack of preparation. I recognize that we're coming into 2012. A lot of things have been said about 2012. There's a lot of prophecies out there. There's a lot of sayings. There's a lot of predictions. There are many people saying a lot of things about the next presidential election and about America's future and the global economy and all those things. Wait a minute. Listen, I'm getting ready to come into 2012. I'm not going in there unprepared. I'm a champion. I can't just walk in there and just expect things to be the same as it was this year. No, I'm a champion. And champions transform. Champions prepare. Champions do not allow themselves to be disqualified with incidental things that have been overlooked. I don't overlook anything. I stay in my lane. You step out of your lane, you're disqualified. You jump before the gun sounds, you're disqualified. You got to play by the rules of engagement. And it's the word of God, honey. It's not any other person's rules and how we engage. So I have to ask myself, to what degree am I preoccupied with material possessions? Have I become so familiar or too familiar with the temporal? Have the temporal in my life become one, like the word in my life is to become one? If it is, then I need to separate myself. I need to come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. And we talk about that when we hang around with non-Christians. Oh, my Lord, I wish that's all it was. That's easy to get away from non-Christians or unbelievers. But can you separate yourself from you? Can you separate yourself from your unbelief? Do you see what I'm talking about? Come out from among them. Leave that place. Leave that land. And begin to embrace faith and believe who you are in Christ. You may have done, as I've said many times, what they say you've done, but you are not who they say you are. If I've been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb, then you're looking at a champion's kid right here. I'm a conqueror in training. I'm about to take over. I am a king's kid. I have all authority that has been given unto me here on this earth. I'm an ambassador for God. I rule and reign with Him. My mouth is full of power. I need to live a champion life or a crucified life. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I love this scripture. Can you put it up? 2 Corinthians 4:10-11. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 11, For we who live, this is really an amazing scripture. Think about it. We who live are always delivered to death. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. We who live are always being delivered to death. For Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The doorway, the gate, the avenue, the conduit, the way in is when I die to myself, just like we heard at John Melende conference. But when you and I live to be delivered to death, then the life of Jesus will be manifested in our mortal flesh. That means our humanness. Jesus had never lost a battle. No, no, no. Jesus never gave in to a temptation. No, no, no. Jesus never had lack. Jesus never had insecurity. Jesus never had a temptation that he could not overcome because he knew his purpose. Let me tell you something. There is a season of champion mentality where the church is going to quit playing with the carnality, that passing it back and forth and playing catch with our own appetites, thinking because you caught it and I threw it that we are both all right. Somebody needs to drop the ball. Somebody needs to understand that there's another kind of life, another level of living, that we can overcome those things and we can walk victorious in those things because I become one with what I believe. And I'll test myself to see where I don't believe it, and I'll examine myself when I don't, and I'll begin to repent and let go of those things. I'll be delivered to death daily. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And I am purposing to manifest the life of Jesus Christ in my life. Can I get an amen? Here's the key points in living a champion life. Number one, deny yourself. I'm going to give you three of them. Man's nature and tendency is to indulge himself. Learn how to deny yourself. It's in the simple areas of life. It doesn't matter if it's the second piece of cake or if it's cake at all. It could be that. It could be in money. It could be in materialism. It could be in the comforts that you choose. It could be the sacrifices that you make. Learn how to live a life of denial. That you can live without that when your body says you have to have it. Or when your mind says, if you don't get this, then you'll never have peace. And I say, watch me, because in Christ, I am complete in Him. I don't need you, and I don't need that. to be whole, to be satisfied, because I got shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken. And we are seduced by our own appetites, thinking that if we had that, we'd be happy. New car, new clothes, new house, whatever. Listen, we understand we live as champions in denial of self. We understand that we do what we want. I don't do what it wants. That means me. We accomplish this through discipline, control of the Holy Spirit, sacrificing and giving to others. This is going to establish that truth in us. That's why fasting is so powerful. Food fasting. People don't like to do that. You know, it's hard. And I understand it's hard. But at the same time, it helps to discipline you. Why does it discipline you? Because denial of self is a key element in living a champion's life. And if you're not trained in denial on the little things, then how are you ever going to even be conscious of the fact that you are being seduced by greater spiritual temptations? And if you did recognize it, you won't have the authority and the power to be able to deny that. We're like oxen led away to slaughter, like sheep without a voice. And that's pretty much have been the body of Christ, but not anymore. Not anymore. I'm sitting among some champions up here on Wednesday night on September 28th, 2011. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I come to this church. Let me tell you right now. Number two, take up your cross. Champions always take up their cross. Cross is an instrument of death, not just an object to carry it or bear it. Dying to self daily is a command of Jesus. In other words, I place my will, I place my desires, I place my wants, I place my ambitions. And it requires active faith, active faith. I'm diligent. I'm consistent. In other words, I'm going to endure to die to self. I wake up in the morning and I don't say, God, you need to bless me. I say, God, I need to deny me. John said, Lord, less of me and more of you, that I might decrease and you might increase. That's a great prayer in the morning for a champion. This day's not about me. I just want to make that clear right now. To the powers and principalities of the air, I put myself in agreement with God. This is his kingdom. This is his life in me functioning and flowing. I go with the word. I deny myself. So if you come, I just want you to know ahead of time, I've already made a decision. I'm a champion and I will not partake of it. I'm a Rechabite. If you know about the Rechabites. Number three, follow Jesus. Man's tendency is to follow anybody but Jesus. We have a tendency to follow something else, someone else. But making his kingdom my choice every day is key to following him. And there'll be a lot of other opportunities and a lot of other presentations, whether it's humanitarian need, professions, pleasure, religion, recreation, family, sports, education, clothing. I mean, you name it. They all cry out for our attention and service. But nothing has my ear like his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. How can you look at things that aren't seen? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to give you four significant points of a champion when it comes to that verse. But before I give them to you, a lady told me just the other day, she said, I just want you to know, you are today as a result of your battles in your past. They forged you. At the time, you didn't want to be there. You hated it. You thought it was God hurting you. You didn't understand why men could be so mean, situations, da, 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 da. But God used it. What the devil meant for evil, God formed you. He put you on the potter's wheel, and he's molded you, and he's made you. And you are who you are today based on what you went through yesterday. Some of you need to thank God that you went through some stuff, because he's put his hand on you to shape you and forge you and turn you into something that you'd have never been unless he pressed just a little bit on your life. And it's not comfortable at the moment. And you didn't look very pretty either, because when you get that hunk of clay and he has to push it a little bit and all of a sudden it's wobbling on the wheel, and until he gets his hand on there and adds a little water, speeds the wheel up a little bit, and pretty soon you see God, because there's the potter like I see Lisa. But if I'm on the wheel and I'm turning, I'm like, where'd God go? Where'd God go? Where'd go? Oh, there's God. Hey, God, where'd God go? Where'd God go? Where'd go? There's God. Oh, where'd God go? Where'd God go? And when you're spinning on that wheel, you're thinking, God, where are you? He said, quit blaming the devil. My hand is on you. My finger is on you. Boy, I heard T.D. Jakes preach the other night. Did you hear that message? He talked about John the Baptist. He said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He said, God's finger through John pointed on his life. And when God's finger landed on him, it changed his whole existence. He came from a carpenter's son to the Son of God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, just because God took his finger and touched you. God took his finger and said, you're my son, you're my daughter. Let me tell you something. One touch from God. That's a good place to put your stuff down and lift your hand up and say, God, I'll take your touch any day. Hallelujah. I'll take it right now, tonight. I need you to touch me. Oh, glory to God. Number one, guard against fainting. You cannot faint. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't get tired. You never said you were tired in front of Dr. Summerall. He would eat you alive. This means quitting or giving up is not an option. You got to wake up in the morning and say that. Look in the mirror and say, I am not a quitter. Giving up is not an option. It's not on my radar screen. You got that, Canton? I know you do. You better be listening to me. Doesn't matter. No defeat. No discouragement. No discomfort that comes to me, whether it's through people, whether it's through circumstances, events, fatigue, my past, exhaustion, persecution, even opposition. Nothing. Because I'm a champion. And champions don't quit. You have to kill me to defeat me. And you can't kill what's already dead. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, church. You got to get that thinking. You got to get that mentality that I'm coming into this arena and there's only going to be one of us walking out, and it's not going to be you. Because I'm a champion. I've trained for this. I look forward to the arena of battle. It's called faith. Faith is a battlefield. Faith is an arena. Faith isn't a joyride. Faith isn't a good goosebump at church. Faith is an arena. And like an old gladiator, I've been training for this, and now I'm up. I'm next. You can come with your intimidation. You can come with your words. You can come with your attire. You can come with your reputation. But let me tell you something, like David in the Valley of Elah. You come with me. Come to me with spear and with sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm a champion. You know, that story about David, it just blows me away, because after he killed Goliath, he grabbed his head and walked around Jerusalem with it. A 17-year-old little boy walking around with this giant's head in his hand. I mean, everybody knew who he was. Everybody knew who that was and who he is, because he is, because that's because he was, but he's not anymore. Look, he's in my hand. I like it about David. He was doing stuff like that constantly because David was a champion. Was he perfect? No, but he was a champion. He killed one king and took off the crown off his head. The Bible said it weighed 65 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And David took it off his head and put it on his own. Tells you something about a mentality of a champion. You look for others' crowns to wear. I'm not trying to be politically correct so you can coexist with me. No, I want the crown. I want your authority. I'm taking it over. I'm coming for you. And I'm going to kill you to get it. And I'll wear it after you're gone. That's what he did. He carried heads around. He took people's crowns. It's because he was a champion. Don't you let this world seduce you into thinking that we have to be politically correct. And everybody has their right to exist. They do in the kingdom, but not in defiance to the king. What did I say? Guard against fainting. I better hurry. In other words, you got to say it this way. I play with pain. I just want you to know, coach, before even the game starts, I play with pain. Doesn't matter how bad I'm hurt. I could be bleeding. Stitch it up. Do what you have to do. Give me a shot. Wrap it up. I'm going back in. Because I'm committed to this team. I'm committed to this contest. We're going to win. And I know my talents, my gifts, my abilities, my attitude, my championship rings tell me you need me and you'll have me. It doesn't matter. Just know this. Don't worry if I'm down. I'll get up again. Because I'm a champion. I play with pain. Look at somebody and say, I play with pain. Yeah, I do. Number two, the outward man and the inward man. The Bible says it perishes. Did you know the outward man is perishing and the inward man is strengthening? That's why it's important. I've preached and I've taught about healthy living. A lot of people say, it must be nice to be thin. Yeah, it's nice, but you know what? It doesn't happen naturally. How do you do it? Fight devils. That's how I do it. It's not easy. How do you do it? How do you stay healthy? I have to. Because if my outward man is perishing and my inward man is growing day by day, one of them is going to outlive the other. In other words, my inward man is going to become so powerful and so strong, my outward man won't be able to keep up. So I've got to train the outward man as I age to keep up in step with my inward man who's growing. You know what I'm talking about? So you go to the gym and you lift up the weights and you do the sit-ups and you do the cardio and you eat right. Because you know inside there's a spiritual life that is growing and busting out at the seams. And if you don't strengthen it, you will not be able to keep up with it. Light afflictions. You must constantly compare your present trials with the eternal weight of glory. I have to see a scale in my eyes. I have to tip the scale in God's favor every time when I see the eternal weight of glory based on my temporary light affliction that I'm going through. And sometimes my temporary light afflictions are big, huge weights. And if I don't fix my eyes on the eternal weight of glory of God, that scale will tip in the wrong direction. You've been there, I've been there, but champions know this going into it. You've got to offset the weight of the temporal with the eternal weight of glory. Someday you're going to see him as he is. Someday you're going to walk with him and talk with him. You're going to be in glory with him. You're going to rule and reign. Come on, we're going to see him. We're going to talk to him. We're going to be in the streets of gold. We're going to be in the mansions of heaven. My friend, this is not it. We're passing through. We're sojourners. We're on our way to the eternal weight of glory. Glory. So we've got to put that in perspective. This is a champion's mentality. We are overcomers. Number four, look into the spiritual realm. Focus your eyes and attention on setting a goal or an end. See the end of a thing. I've always got to see the end of the thing. I can't just look at the where I'm at, because where I'm at has nothing to do with where I'm going. The enemy might be trying to deter me, slow me down, trip me up. But you know what? This is not the end of the destination. I still got a journey to go. My eyes are on the end. It's on the finish line. So I understand that things which are seen are never the end of a thing. Things that are seen are never the end of a thing. They may come and say, well, we're going to close you down. But that's not the end of the thing. I can see that, but that's not the end of the thing. Because I got a word from God. I became one with the word. I've welded my hand to the word of God. My belief and my life have become one. You can't separate us. I believe it already. I have it. I don't even see it. I don't need to see it to believe it. I don't even have to see it to have it. It's as though I'm already walking in it. Why? Because I become one with it. Look into the spiritual realm. I need to train myself to see what cannot be seen in the natural. Unseen things are incorruptible. Unseen things are incorruptible. You must find people in your life who are going to help you focus on staying in the game. Sometimes it's cheerleaders. You know, cheerleaders are cute, aren't they? They stand on the sidelines. Some people don't even, just ignore them. They're watching the game like they don't even cheer. I got to cheer a little bit, give them encouragement, you know. Go team, go, fight, fight, well, you know, whatever they do, you know. And you know, give me an A, or give me an M, or give me a B, or whatever it is. You guys, yeah, B, woo! Sometimes you're the only one in the whole stand. You feel pretty stupid. But that's my girl right there. I'm going to cheer for her. You need cheerleaders in your life. You need people who celebrate you, not tolerate you. And if you got people around you that are tolerating you, you need to cut off those relationships and find some people that'll celebrate you, because you need some pom-poms and some cheers. You need some people that'll get excited for you. Come on, let's get excited. Let's get fired up. You know, that kind of thing. You need somebody that knows how to get fired up over what you're doing and can't hardly wait to see you score. Yeah. The other night, Jeremiah, he plays for Avon High School. They're undefeated and probably will go a long way this year. He's a junior. He's being recruited by Wisconsin, Northwestern, Indiana, Michigan, West Virginia, you name it, all these schools, you know. And he don't care. He just walking around, hey, Papa, it's all right. I said, how you feel about that, Jeremiah? He goes, it's all right. It's like, okay. And he just walks around, just like real slow. But on the football field, he's like, you know, real fast. He's a nose tackle. They put two guys on him all the time. And the other day I was watching, I was here at the conference. I went home and I didn't get to see Jeremiah play. So I put on Channel 19 News. I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what they're going to do. Oh, Avon game came on. Oh, and the highlight reel. Guess what? Number 69, Jeremiah was on there. He was on there. And it showed him sacking the quarterback. And when he sacked the quarterback fumbled. And it was so cool. He got up off the ground, turned around, went like this. Like LeBron used to be. And he walked back. That's my boy right there, man. Oh, woo! You need some people in your life that cheer you on instead of bring you down. Bring you down. Finally, dress appropriately every day. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Putting on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Let me tell you something. The war room of hell is planned for yours and my defeat and destruction every day, today and every day. But be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, I used to say, but I can't, but I can't, but I can't. And years ago, God gave me a revelation of the word can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word can't is why I can. Because every time I see can't, I see a T. C-A-N apostrophe T. I can because of the cross. And every time I see can't that comes into my mind, I have to flash back and say, you define can't as impossible. I define can't as all things are possible because of Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to get a different attitude because we're champions. We can do this. We can win Northeastern Ohio. We can see revival hit every home. We can see our children fervent for God. We can see this thing turned around in America. How do we do it? Realize you're standing in opposition to the will of the devil. You are standing in opposition to the will of the devil every day when you wake up to steal, kill, and destroy. And not on my watch. You're going to have to get through me to steal. You're going to have to get through me to kill. You're going to have to get through me to destroy. Because I am the line of defense. God says, who can I send? Who will stand in the gap? Who will stand? Who will go for me? I'm saying, God, I'll go for you. I'll put my life between harm's way. I will stand in the gap. And the seven articles of armament. I'm going to close with this. I am closing. The armament, the seven, the number of God. Listen, there's no mistake that there are seven pieces to the complete armament of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the belt of truth. Putting on truth is initiated into your life. That's when you put on truth, when you assimilate it into your life. Strive to walk only in revealed truth. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't take revelations of others and make and turn them into your own. Do not try to live on the revelations of other people. They won't work for you. It's like the demons that said, you know, Paul I know and Peter I know, but who are you? You can't take their revelation. You've got to make it your revelation. That's belt of truth. Get a word from God for yourself. Number two, sandals of peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Walk with a mentality that all my needs are met in Christ Jesus and I lack no thing. And the gospel infiltrates every area of my life. This will destroy potential distractions. Number three, shield of faith. The shield was held out in front. We walk by faith, believing God's word will quench all the fiery darts and the temptations of the devil, the trials of the devil. Don't drop your shield. You know where you drop your shield? You drop your confessions. Some of us used to do confessions every day. You don't do them anymore. You dropped your shield of faith. and the fiery darts of the devil are causing havoc in your house. Pick up your shield of faith. Number four, the helmet of salvation. This is your deliverance. Prepare yourself daily to defeat all temptation, all trial, all corruptions of this world. You know, when a guy, when he's playing football, when he puts on his helmet and snaps on, you know what that means? I'm out to make a point. I didn't put this thing on to look good. Because when they're done making a point, they take it off. But when I strap it on, I'm making a point. I want you to get up in the morning and I want you to make it a point to let the devil know that you are clothed in your helmet of salvation. You're out. I mean, you're mean business. You're out to make a difference. Okay? Helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the word. Speak the word. Declare the word. Live the word. Talk back to situations and circumstances. You know, the righteous, the Bible says, are as bold as lions. And you know what lions do? They roar. We've got to get our roars back. I believe God. You uncircumcised Philistine! You know, get yourself out there and commit. Sometimes we're so wimpy, we're not sure whose side we're on. Man, get out there and just make a declaration. I believe in God! All right, now you've done it. Now I know you're a God man. Now you know, you're going to have to prove that now. Put your helmet on. Breastplate of righteousness. This is really important when you go to battle. Why? Because you have to recognize the righteousness of Christ in your life. It's not of you. Therefore, don't permit the devil to condemn you or unqualify what God has qualified. Because every time you go in the battle, there's a hint, there's a word, there's a thought that says you're not ready for this because of. No, wait a minute. The righteousness of God was given unto me by faith, through grace, by grace through faith. And so therefore, I am ready. The last one is the word of faith. Some say it's prayer. I call it the word of faith. That's the last armament of the Spirit. I say this because they interpret it just as prayer and they minimize it. No, prayer is only words of faith when it includes God's word. When you pray the word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, understanding 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3, you and Christ, you in Christ, you for Christ. My daily walk has already been determined by my decision by his disciple. By being his disciple. When I lay my head down on the bed tonight, I'm not waking up as a non-Christian. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, I think I'm going to go commit adultery. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and go, let's see, what can I do to get away with something here? What can I do to fulfill my carnal appetite? I'm not going to be thinking about that. I'm going to bed as a champion. I'm going to wake up as a champion. Now, the enemy may try to entice me and seduce me, but I understand that I'm in training. You know, no cream puffs for the next 12 months. I'm sorry, because I'm in training. I can't go there because that is part of the outward man that's dying and decaying day by day. And my inward man is being renewed by the Spirit. And in order to keep up with this, I got to stay in training. I can't afford to be with a, you know, like they say when you go into battle, David said, my men have never been with women before they go into battle. Why? Because they can't get distracted. They can't lose their emotions and their energies and be distracted before a fight. Do you think for 1 minute the devil is distracted about destroying your life or killing or stealing from you? Absolutely not. He is so focused on destroying you and taking your children and your family to hell, to take you into a divorce court, to mess you up, to steal your money, to put cancer in your body. Do you understand? That is what he lives for. He lives and moves and has his being for destruction. We live and move our being to have life in Christ and him alone. Who's going to win? Well, let me tell you, this champion's here to tell you. It's Jesus Christ in me, not me, because I can't do a thing. But Christ in me, I can do all things. Can I get an amen? Come on, stand up on your feet. Say this, I'm a kingdom leader. And everything I do builds his kingdom. His kingdom in my life. His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I am one of God's champions. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, I thank you for the body of Christ tonight. I thank you, Lord, that I am privileged to be a part of such a great company of people. I thank you, Lord, that according to your word in Hebrews, that there is also a company in heaven, that, Father, is also witnesses to what's going on right now. There are cheerleaders. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that there are many in our lives right now that believe in us. There are more that believe in us than those that don't. just like the prophet told the servant, open his eyes, oh God, that he might see the chariot of fire and those angels that are all about us right now. There are more of us than there are of them. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage that one that's down tonight, maybe feeling poorly about themselves, always reading the last chapter of defeat in their life and not writing the new volume of victory. I just come against that spirit now and I command it to loose itself and loose its hold now in Jesus' name. I invite, Father God, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house, Father, to become champions. Some of us are champions in training. Some of us only aspire at this point. Some of us have already been there. Some of us fallen out of the arena of faith. Some of us have been scared by the battle. Some of us have been wounded and we're hurt and we're recovering. But God, every one of us have a heart right now. We make a decision and a purpose in our heart that we are going to be champions for Christ in everything we do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Two things I want to tell you before you go. You can give the offering on the way out and give whatever God puts in your heart to give, but that's how we exist here with your free will offering, you know. We don't get any subsidies from the government. You know that, right? Amen. These are tickets for Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, October 16th, 17th, and 18th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night. We're believing for hundreds to be saved. We're just about ready to mail out between 10 and 12,000 postcards to people all around Northeastern Ohio, inviting them to come to these three nights. We'll have a billboard up on the top of, on our box truck driving around the city, inviting people. Get tickets. Take a handful. Take them to work. Put them up on the bulletin boards at the grocery store. Pass them out at McDonald's. Let people know that they can come free on one of those nights. And then also, I'm just going to do this quickly on behalf of Brother Al tonight. He is beginning the Trinity Recovery Group next Wednesday at 6 p.m., right prior to service. And Al is right there. Wave your hand. And what this is a class that's going to discuss alcohol and drug prevention, treatment, and recovery. At one time in his former church, he had this ministry going where there was over 200 men that gathered every week. Very victorious. I mean, that's bigger than most churches. So that very victorious, people getting off alcohol and drug addiction. If you know people that are in that condition and need to be free, then you get them over here next Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Are you meeting in room number 2? Room number 2, that's next week, October 5th, right? All right. God bless all of you. Thanks for being here. I love being with you. I hope you have a great evening. Drive safe.